My name is Michaela Walls. I'm 22 years old. Today is September 12th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Carolee Bragger, who's my grandma. We're actually recording over the phone speaker because she lives in Willard, Utah, and I live in St. Joseph, Minnesota. All right. Grandma, how would you best describe our family heritage?
Our family heritage. Okay, well, we have a strong family heritage. I think we started way back with the pioneers when they crossed the, you know, the country.
Went from out west to Utah area?
Yes.
Did most of our family go to Utah, or do you know if some of us were the people who settled, like...
Oh, they came from England, and then they came over back to around Ohio, around there, and then they came from there.
So, like, our family would have immigrated to the U.S. around the time of the pioneers going to Utah, then?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if we had family, much family, that did, like, the whole Nauvoo or Missouri, Illinois stint with the rest of the, like, Mormon saints? Or is it just, like...
No, we had some.
Okay. And then... Never mind. Okay. No, you go ahead. You tell me.
No, that's okay. I was just gonna say we had some on both sides that came, so...
Both you and Grandpa's side.
Uh-huh.
Because I know on my dad's side is Brigham Young on Julie's side, but you're saying both you and Grandpa both have pioneers.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that's why Arger, like ethnic heritage is so, like, mostly, like, all are descended from English people. For
uh-huh.
Okay.
A few from Italy.
We're, yeah, very small percent Italian, I think, right?
Yeah, very small.
Yeah. Do you think that comes with any, like, special traditions or something that's unique to our family because of our heritage?
No, I'm not sure about that. I have a lot of pioneer stories, but... I'm sure it did.
Do you have pioneer stories that are specific to our family?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple. And all of a sudden, I've gone totally blank.
No, that's okay. Just tell me which one you remember.
Isn't that terrible?
No, you're okay.
From my grandma's side... My mother's side, we had some the Chatlins and Chadwicks, and then from Grandpa's side, there was Hartleys, but I'm trying to think of the first names that I have, the names that I actually have the book in the other room, if you want to stop, I can go get it, but...
No, it's okay. The names are as important because I can look that up on our, like, family tree as, like, do you know any, like, specific stories that we've passed down through our family?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of her first name. It's baffled me. It just left me. We had some that came over that were sent by their parents and came over to England from England to, so they could have religious freedom.
So, like, not the whole family came, but just the kids were sent?
Yeah, some did that, but mostly there was the parents came too. Oh, I'm trying to think of, you know,
Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I guess because, like, a lot of the stories we hear at church then are kind of stories that our family would have been more directly part of then.
Yeah, we had some that came over. We even had some in the, the Martin Hand Cart Company.
The Hand Cart Company? I feel like that and the hand carts would have been worse than the wagons.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I was definitely not born at that time for a good reason.
Me too, because I wouldn't have made it. I think we have, you know, you think you have it rough now. Can you imagine having to walk that far and go through rivers? And sometimes it was dead of, you know, dead of winter, and crossing those, the Mississippi back there, and I just can't imagine some of the things they did.
We were looking at these maps the other day about how big the Mississippi used to really be.
Huge!
Yeah, so, like, I guess when I think about the pioneers crossing the Mississippi, I look at it now because I cross it every day here, and it's like, eh, it's not, like, that big. And then you look at how big it was, and it, like, covered a bunch of the area that, like, I live in now. So, like, they would have had to cross a much larger.
And can you imagine how deep, I mean, you know, and I just think, yeah.
I wonder how they got the hand carts across.
Oh, they, yeah.
Just, like, tie it and hold it with a rope and hope it floats with you or not with the current more? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd have to look into that. That sounds hard.
I wish I would have just got that book out for you. I could tell you some of the stories.
Well, if you want, I can pause and you can grab it if you want.
I'm trying to think where it's at.
If not, we can just go into more recent stuff, like you and Grandpa's childhoods.
Okay, we can do that, because I can tell those for sure.
This one says, are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Or are there negative events or memories that you think shaped who you are today?
Yeah, both.
Both.
I had a really good childhood. So did Grandpa. I always knew my family loved me. We were raised on a farm in Idaho, and we had to work. I had to irrigate. I get up every day and irrigate with my dad and haul siphon tubes. And
before you went to school?
Sometimes, yes. And so, I mean, even my one sister Cheryl, the little queens of siphoning of the siphon tubes, because we could shake them once and throw them down, and we didn't have to sit and pump the tubes.
Siphon tubes? What is that for?
It's a big silver tube. It's shaped kind of like a, it goes into the water, and then there's like a half circle, and then it comes down to go into each row. They did it by rows, your siphon tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays they use these great big irrigation systems that have the big round wheels that just roll on a thing and they just go through the field.
Yeah.
But back then it was, yeah, siphon tubes. And I always remember that me and my sister used to sit in the back of the pickup and the dog and my dad were in the front seat of the pickup. But we learned to work back then, and I think it was good for us growing up on a farm. We did, you know, a lot of, Mom canned a lot of food and taught us how to can, and I did that until just about 10 years ago, maybe 15, is when I quit.
Quit canning?
Yes.
Yeah, that's something that I'm trying to learn now.
Grandpa grew up here in Willard and Brigham. when he was a little older, he used to go down to other farmers' houses and do their milk their cows and things.
Why, do other farmers, like, to earn money? Or to help out? Did his family have their own, like, cows and stuff, too, to deal with? So he just milk all day, or what?
No. Lynn, your family didn't have a dairy. You went down to, like, the wells and stuff, didn't you? He says he worked for Wells, and he worked for Badley's. That's people here in around the town and down the highway.
How old was Grandpa when Grandpa Wayne started Tramp Corps?
Grandpa Wayne started Tramp Corps in 19 what, dear? 1974.
So that one made Grandpa. That'd have been like 2 years before Mom was born. Okay, so that made Grandpa like 30.
No.
Not 30. He would have been like 20.
Yeah, he was like, what, 22, 23? It was 21.
Huh. Cause you guys got married when he was 22 and you were 20, right?
Right.
So then Tramp Corps got started up right around the time you were married. A little bit before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
They started out there, the Tramp Corps Corporation, which is how many trucks, dear? 5 trucks, 5 semis. We parked them out in Grandma and Grandpa Bragger's backyard.
Yeah, the shop area.
Uh-huh.
It's weird since it's like the family business and it's always been the family business since I've been around. I always kind of forget that that's not what they did the whole time they were growing up.
No, that's not what they did the whole time.
Yeah.
Before Tramp Corps, great-grandpa Bragger drove a truck for Lynn, what was the name of the company? Caribou Oil.
That Grandpa Wayne drove for?
Keller Strauss Brothers and Caribou Oil. That's great, Grandpa.
Grandpa Wayne.
Yeah, Grandpa Wayne.
Okay.
Drove truck before he started his own company.
That makes sense. You'd kind of know the ropes before you just jump into the industry.
Uh-huh. And now they have 100 drivers, and part of them, probably 30 or 40 of them are leasers. That means that they lease the truck and drive their own truck for Tramp Corps, and it's not a Tramp Corps truck. And all the rest of the drivers drive a Tram Corps truck. Anyway, yeah, so they're up to about 100.
Interesting. So that, like, kind of explains Grandpa a little bit, like, with his childhood, but you said working hard on the farm really shaped who you are today. Is there anything else from your childhood you remember that really shaped you?
Well, there's something not good, but
not good? Is that something you want to share or no?
That happened with, that didn't have to do with my family. My family, I had a good upbringing, and so did Grandpa. We both, you know, had close-knit families and were taught to work, but then I had something happen when I was in high school. And that was a bad influence on my self-esteem and myself. It kind of shaped part of me through the years. I had a so-called friend that lived down the street that always liked to be in competition with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working at Kmart and I was no, I was a junior and working at Kmart as a, I was their layaway clerk, and I also made the signs that you hang out on the little things everywhere. I did that. And I came home one night, and for church-wise, we were supposed to go to church that night, but I had to work, so I got there at the end.
Oh, you've told me this story. This is the girl who decided that she was going to tell you all the things that you aren't good at, that way you could work on them to make you a better person.
Yes, and she had all of my friends around a big table. And she made them each one tell something that was wrong with me. And by the time I was through listening to everybody's things, but the whole time she had this smile on her face and she was just enjoying herself. But she didn't realize, you know, what it did to me.
Yeah.
And it made me very self-conscious. And I couldn't be around him anymore. I went to church somewhere else after that.
That's, like, why we spend so much time as teachers, like, talking to our kids about, like, you might not think much about what you did or said, but someone who you've hurt will think about it for a long, long time. You know?
That's true. And it affected my life for years because I was so, had such low self-esteem and no confidence because of the things that they said.
It's sad.
I kind of resented that girl. And just a few years back, maybe what, 8 years, Grandpa, we saw this girl at a viewing for, you know, somebody that we knew had passed away, and her husband, and I'd always resented her and not liked her and kind of held a grudge because she'd kind of, you know, done this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we met her and her husband, you could tell right away that neither one of them were happy, and that they hadn't had a good life together. And it was really sad because me and Grandpa had a good life together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally let go of that, those bitter feelings I had to her, with her. And it was like a big weight lifted off my shoulder after about 30 some odd years, you know.
I think that's when you first told me this story, was after that happened. But, yeah, I
was in high school when it happened, but it definitely made me a different person than I was, because I was happy-go-lucky, and I had, you know, but it just kind of shot my self-esteem and my confidence down. And I think that's one of the reasons I put on weight through the years, you know.
Kind of that, like, self-doubt kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's never fun to be criticized.
No.
But to have all your friends tell you what's wrong with you, that was really hard to take because I didn't realize, you know, how people, you know, some of them felt, and some of them didn't want to say anything, but she made them. And so, anyway, being... one of the things I've learned is you try to be upbeat, never, never down people. And, yeah, that wasn't a good one. There's the not positive thing. Maybe that will help in, when with your teaching and stuff, to remind kids not to tear other people down and always build people up.
Yeah. No, definitely. And... another question I thought of while you were saying that, you said you were working at Kmart when you were a junior. How young were you when you first got your, like, off-the-farm job? Was that your first one, or was there ones before that?
No, that was not my first job. My first job is I worked in a 7-Up bottling company, watching the bottles go through a light to make sure nothing got into them after they were filled with soda.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did that first.
Wow. That sounds so fun.
Very different.
Yeah, do you remember what you got paid to do that?
I don't. It's been so long ago. My minimum wage way back then was really not much.
Wasn't like the $10 and something that we enjoy here in Minnesota right now?
Oh, heavens no. It was like $4 or $5, yeah, an hour. And we thought we were big time back then, you know?
I mean, that's kind of high considering, like, Utah's minimum wage is still sitting around, like, $7.25 or something like that.
Yeah, like, they haven't brought it up much. I mean, you know, it's very slow, the minimum wage thing here in Utah. It's taken a lot of years to get it where it's at.
Yeah. So. We'll switch to a more positive thought. Can you tell me about one of the people who has been the kindest to you in your life?
The kindest, yes. She actually was a school teacher.
Oh, really?
She was my home ec school teacher in high school, and her name was Faye Milliberg, and she wasn't married, but she was the sweetest lady, and she always had something positive to say, and we became good friends, and then I got into a club called FHA. It was Future Homemakers of America back then. I don't know if they even have it now in high school.
No, I feel like that would be one that would get, like, stricken down by all the, like, gender roles and stuff like that that people are trying to go against in society today, but I'm sure at the time it was pretty relevant.
Yeah. Yep, we had, like, probably 60 to 70 girls in the club.
Wow.
And she was one of our advisors.
How many people were in your graduating class?
Probably 150.
Nice. That's like double the amount of fifth graders I teach right now.
Yeah, but let me tell you, when she got married, and she did get married, I was the only student invited to her wedding.
So she was pretty young when she was your teacher then?
Yeah, she was in her, yeah. To me, she seemed old because...
Because you were young.
She was in her late 30s, I would say.
Oh, so old.
Well, to a high school student, that's old, you know.
Yeah. So. It's kind of a nice edge as a teacher, though, because fifth graders think I'm old, so, you know, they listen a little more.
Yep. It's kind of funny. But she always had a positive thing to say about everybody. And she would always build people up. And that's what impressed me so much about her, is because she looked for the good in everybody.
Sounds like a nice person to be around.
And she was. She really was. She had made my last few years in high school pleasant at school because of her.
Did you learn any, do you remember any specific skills she taught you, or mostly just, like, the feelings and the, like, relationship you had?
Oh, I took interior design from her. And what else? A couple of different things. And she just was always good at being a teacher because she made everybody feel important. And the things that they did towards their work was, you know, meant something. So you always felt like you wanted to do your best in her class.
That's very cool. That's a lot of why they stress us spending so much time with getting to know our students now. It's because kids just don't learn from people they don't like, you know?
That's true. Very true.
Let's see. Next one says, what are some of the most important lessons you've learned in your life, and how did you learn them?
The most important lessons?
Mm-hmm.
That family is very important. that we need to do fun things together so our kids have good memories, that we need to work alongside of them, not just tell them what to do, but also chip in and do the things with them. And I did that a lot in my younger days. I don't do that anymore.
So that was something you learned more with your family and your siblings, or more with, like, when you had Mom and Josh?
Or well, no, I learned it. I remember the fun times I had when my mom and dad took us, like, camping. That's what they like to do, is go camping. And I've always enjoyed camping. And now, you know, when we got married, me and Grandpa loved camping, and so we'd take your mom and Josh, and we take them camping, and we used to try to do that several times during the summer. We've never been to all these fancy places, and we never took them to Disneyland, things like that. We just didn't have the money.
Right.
But we still tried to make memorable things that the kids would remember, and, you know, as they were young.
Yeah. Can you tell me about your childhood? Do you remember any of the stories, like, of your childhood that people used to tell you that were, or that you remember, that were some of those really good, like, family bonding moments?
My family went to, I can't think of the name, in Idaho. It was a certain lake that my dad liked to go and go camping to. And we would borrow a camper. We didn't own a camper.
Mm-hmm.
But we would borrow a neighbor's camper and put it on our pickup. And then we would go to this lake. And it was a few hours' drive from where we lived in Idaho. And we would get to be up in the... They don't allow this anymore, but we used to ride in the camper. And up on the top bed and have the window open, you know, curtains open so we could see out going down the road.
Oh, yeah. Nope, not allowed anymore.
No. Way back then, they didn't really have seat belts when they...
Yeah.
Or use them clear back then, so there's a lot of difference between then and now, but... I remembered my schoolyard. Most of the kids, you know, we'd play baseball out on the... We lived by a big canal. The school was by a big canal.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of sand around it. And we had to watch for... Hey, this is going to sound silly, but I believe they were scorpions.
Really?
Yeah. When we were out playing and stuff, because they lived in that sand around by the canals, by the school. And then we also played marbles. I mean, we did things as girls with the boys all the time, like playing baseball, playing marbles. We'd swing sometimes and do the monkey bars. There was tetherball, too. That was a big thing. They had tetherball poles in where my elementary school was, and we played tetherball.
I think one of my elementary schools I went to actually had that, and it was, like, one of the ones in Michigan. But other than that, I don't think I've ever seen one. Like,
oh, I haven't seen them in many, many years, but... Grandpa said they used to have them here in his school that he went to, but they don't have them anymore. Those are just some of the games we played.
And did you spend a lot of, like, was your recess with a lot of your friends at school, or did you and meet up with your siblings a lot during recess? How did that work?
No, I was the youngest.
Right.
Of my family, and so... they were mostly always all ahead of me, way far. So I just played with the kids my age on the playgrounds, and we didn't have far to walk to church from there. It was just across from the school. And then we also had a small grocery store there. And it was called a Sequa. It was the little place with the school and the church and the... I'm born in Rupert, Idaho. I'm not born, but lived in Rupert, Idaho growing up. But we went to a Sequa school and stuff, so... I remember when they had, what was it, President Kennedy? I think it was, yeah, when he got shot, I think I was a fourth grader. And we all ran in the gym, and we were running around crying in the gym when it happened, and they announced it over the intercom.
Wow. When,
yeah.
You and Grandpa don't seem like you're old enough to remember Kennedy's dying, but I guess you are.
Well, I was a fourth grader. I remember where I was, and yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's how, like, I still remember 9/11, even though I was only in, like, preschool.
Yeah, see, so...
Those traumatic things stick with you.
It is. We, you know, it really hit the country hard when he was killed. So... Is there something else you want to ask me, or...?
I only have one more question. It's, do you have a favorite memory of me?
Of you?
Yeah. Maybe well, one I don't remember or one I do. I don't know.
I just remember how you, when we lived in the house over there for 30 years, and when you guys were little, we would take you camping with us. I don't know if you remember that. But you'd go camping with us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Grandpa, he bought a little green John Deere tractor, but it was a toy tractor, but it was a riding tractor. And it had a little cart that pulled behind it. And we would put Todd or you in the front and one of you in the cart, and Grandpa would pull you guys around town. And you always thought that was just the funnest thing, to be pulled around in that little John Deere tractor and cart around the town.
Around Willard? Pets,
yeah, around Willard. And he'd take you around the blocks, wouldn't you, dear? Grandpa said they used to take you guys down the Bamberger where the old railway road, you know.
See, I don't remember that. My earliest, like, memories of being around Willard was when, like, Grandpa was teaching us to ride our bikes.
Oh, yes. He taught a lot of you how to ride your bikes when we went camping.
And then I learned while we were camping, but then I ended up practicing, and you sat out on the front porch, and I kept riding up and down that pathway down the middle of the yard.
Uh-huh.
And that's where all the rocks were. So you'd get all nervous that I was going to tip over because of the rocks. And I was very determined that I would not tip over because of the rocks.
Yep,
and I had the purple little mermaid bike.
Yeah, Grandpa taught all of you to ride your bikes.
It's a rite of passage Grandpa. In our family.
Huh?
I said it's a rite of passage in our family.
Yep, Grandpa taught all of you, didn't you, dear? And so that's pretty good to teach all eight of you.
Yeah.
How to ride a bike.
Eight for eight. Go, Grandpa.
Emmett was the funniest one, Mom and Kayla.
Emmett?
Yes.
Go for a bike ride. He says, but my one wheel's off my bike. He says, can you put it back on?
Yeah, he had the little training wheels on.
Uh-huh.
Go in the house, get your helmet, and I'll take care of it. He comes back out, and the wheel's gone.
Grandpa had taken off the training wheel.
I can't ride like that. It's just today you can.
Today you can. Grandpa just decides when we're ready. He knows.
Well, you guys, sometimes back then the road wasn't a busy road like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids could, you guys could just bike around the City Hall and come, you know, or go back, go over and play across to the school and, you know, ride around and then come back. And we didn't have to worry so much about cars because they were a lot more careful back in those days.
And we had, like, so, we have so much family in Willard, too, that it's like if you didn't know where we were probably within line of sight of someone we knew.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's all the questions I had. Is there anything else you want to tell me in our remaining 9 minutes? We don't have to fill all the time. I'm just letting you know if you wanted to share one more story, we have time.
Well, I just hope that we helped you to have a good childhood.
No, you definitely did.
And we always used to have, sometimes we put tables out on the front lawn and have our parties out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. With the stuff you did with us as grandkids, was that pretty similar to the kind of stuff you guys did with Mom and Josh when they were kids?
And Grandpa says not exactly.
We went camping and stuff, but like the thing of pulling you around in the tractor and wagon and stuff, we didn't have any of that kind of stuff.
None of the camping and wagon stuff?
No, I mean, when your mom and Josh were little.
You guys did tent camping then, right?
We did
tent camping.
Yeah.
And, Josh had a little horse that he rode, a little plastic horse that he rode around on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal Lee had a thing, it was called a Silly Sammy. And as she sat on it, the little head would swirl around. Was it a duck head? I think it was a duck head.
I'll have to look up a picture of that.
Oh, I got pictures. And she would ride that around, you know. But and we had a swing set that Grandpa put together years and years ago. And it's still out there and over at the house where the new people now live. And the kids like to swing.
That and the teeter-totter.
Oh, and we had the teeter-totter, too. We kept it. We still have it.
You had the teeter-totter?
Yes, we took it up to the cabin.
That's part of my inheritance, right, Grandma?
You betcha. Yeah, it was an old wooden, well, it was metal on the bottom.
And it's got the red wood seats.
Yep, and we still have that. It's at the cabin. We thought, you know, if there was little kids, we'd get it out, but we haven't had any little kids around for a while, so.
They all got big and got into biking. Weird boys.
Yeah, they all like to bike now.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ride a bike when I was young. And I'd go to my friend's house and ride it when we lived in the country. And, some of my friends lived a mile or two away, but I'd always bike there, and it was lots of fun. And I don't know if Grandpa biked where he lived. He said they biked a lot.
I feel like my generation was kind of the last one that was allowed to bike around to their friends a lot.
Yeah.
Because when we lived in Michigan, I biked to my friends' houses all the time.
Uh-huh. Anymore, it's so scary, you don't know who you can trust and who you can't.
Right.
And it wasn't that way years ago. It was everybody helped everybody, and everybody looked after everybody's kids to make sure who was out there and what they were doing, and didn't really have to worry about, you know, how things are today.
Right. Well, thank you for letting me interview you.
Okay, well, I will write down somewhere in my stuff that, you know, that little wooden thingy, teeter-totter.
Belongs to Michaela.
Goes to Michaela.
Good.
Okay, you're so funny. Well, is there anything else you want to ask?
No, I think that's it. I love you.
Well, I love you. I don't know if I was very good at it, and I'm sorry I didn't have my Pioneer Heritage book in here with me.
No, you're great. That's the kind of stuff that you can always show me later, but the stuff that you remember from your memory is different, so now I'll have that.
Oh, yeah.
Saved ever.
We did lots of things. We worked on the farm, and me and my sister did mostly the irrigation, and the older kids would hoe and thin around the beets and in the fields and stuff, so.
You did beets, not potatoes, huh?
We had potatoes, too. We had potatoes, okay. Beets, hay, grain. Yeah, we had our own farm, plus Grandpa rented another farm that was about 5 miles away. So we had the two farms, so we had a lot of...
Grandpa, as in your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
So...
Very cool.
But to this day, I've always... Somebody still in over in Korean uses siphon tubes. They have never gone to the big, round irrigation wheels and stuff that they used to water the farms now.
Huh.
And I've always wanted to go and knock on that guy's door and say, can I go out and irrigate with you? Just for old time's sake.
Just for fun? You liked it that much?
I did. Me and my sister got quite proficient at it, and we were proud of ourselves.
Probably got real nice and tan, too.
Back then, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you take care. We love you. Grandpa, do you have anything to say?
Love you, Michaela.
We love you.
You take care, and we'll...